Purdue Global Radio. From Indianapolis, Indiana to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Purdue Global Radio. Purdue Global Radio.
Hello, my name is Glenn Walton, and I'm a professor teaching marketing and management courses, and you're listening to Purdue Global Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Marty McDermott. Hey, are you interested in marketing? If so, check out an exciting course called MT357 Digital Marketing. This course provides an in-depth look at the way the internet is changing the landscape for marketing goods and services in the global environment. You'll learn about theory and practice, such as concepts like the cloud, search engine algorithms, social media impact, developing a successful digital marketing strategy, cybersecurity, and ethical considerations associated with digital marketing. Talk to your advisor today about taking MT357 Digital Marketing.
Purdue Global Radio. From Indianapolis, Indiana to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Purdue Global Radio. Purdue Global Radio.
Saying it earlier, we have a great show today. Well, we're meeting with Nellie Akalp, and Nellie is the CEO and co-founder of CorpDebt, a trusted resource and service provider for business incorporation, LLC filings, and corporate compliance services. Hi, Nellie. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Marty. Great to be on the show. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Nellie. It's great to finally have you on the show. You know, I've been following you for some time now, whether it's on LinkedIn and Twitter, so it's a privilege for me to finally get the chance to speak to you in person today.
Well, thank you so much. The privilege is all mine, and I'm on the show, and really get to be another form of resource to your audience, franchisors, and franchisees.
You have such an amazing story, Nellie. I mean, I thought, you know, maybe we can kind of go back to the beginning. I mean, you can go back as far as you like, but, you know, I guess, if, you know, for me, when I'm like reading your story, it's very impressive. I mean, how and why did you become an entrepreneur? And I guess it could apply to your husband, too, because I think you were both in the same place, weren't you?
Yes. I think entrepreneurship is something I was truly born with. And, you know, I never really did well with being boxed in.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
You know, I come from a, you know, I'm an only child. I was always kind of one of those children who played with myself being an only child, had to really, really occupy and really, you know, make myself kind of, you know, busy. And, you know, through life and growing up, I just, you know, always was kind of on my own. And, you know, with that, you know, you kind of get to, you know, be a survivor and go through life kind of, you know, doing things on your own. So the idea of having to have a boss or having to work on somebody else's time or clock really wasn't something that excited me and motivated me. And not that, you know, it there's anything wrong with that. You know, some people do really well with that. But for me, it just wasn't something that I was getting excited about. So I felt like entrepreneurship would be the best route for me.
And so it sounds like, I mean, you went to law school, Nellie, you and your husband. And then, I mean, the story gets even better. You know, we didn't talk about it in the beginning of the show, but, you know, you started the company with very limited money. And then at some point, I guess, Intuit came into the picture. I guess it was in like around 2005, and they purchased the company, didn't they?
Yeah, so my old company, we started it with $100 out of our two-bedroom apartment. Yeah, we started it with $100 out of our two-bedroom apartment, and were at the time both going to law school, and then we grew the business to where it was doing nearly, you know, about $900 to $1 million in gross sales a month, and then we were approached by Intuit in 2005. And initially it was one of those kind of meetups where we were told like, this is going to be a partnership, et cetera, et cetera. But then soon the conversation turned to one of acquisition, and we were blessed enough to be acquired for a large sum of cash.
That's
and
great.
It was an easy transaction because, you know, there wasn't really any investors. We didn't have any debt. It was just Phil and I, so it was a very clear cut transaction, and we were acquired, and Initially we thought, okay, you know, this is fun, you know, we'll stay on. But then soon it really, the company kind of lost its entrepreneurial spirit.
Right.
For
that
us.
Happens.
And, you know, God bless corporate America, but that's just not my gig. And we decided to step down and took some time off, focus on our then growing children. We had three at the time, and now I have four. But at the time
God
we had three, we thank you so much. And, you know, our non-compete ran out, and 3 years later, fast forward to 2009, you know, Phil and I realized we were too young and we were too bored and too passionate and, you know, really, really didn't want to, you know, become retired at the age of 35.
Right,
and so we decided to start our current company, CorpNet.com. And I'm really excited and proud of where CorpNet has come to. And, you know, we just had our holiday party with our entire team this last Saturday night. And I have to tell you, it was so surreal for me seeing, you know, over 150 people at our company gig. And just, you know, it's just, it's such a great, great feeling to be able to touch so many lives and help so many employees. And it was just a really exciting event for me. And I have to say, I'm really proud of my team and my company and from where it started to where it is today.
It's interesting, though. I mean, because you had a lot of choices. You know, if you go back to the beginning, I mean, when you and your husband wanted to do this again or, you know, start your own business, what was it about CorpNet? I mean, what was the catalyst for you starting CorpNet? Because, again, you had all these different choices. So there was something about it, that particular industry or that business that you loved. Maybe you can kind of go back to that time, what you were thinking.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's an amazing question, and I love to answer that. It's really because when we, you know, we were coined as the pioneers of the industry. When we first started with our initial company, there was just a few players out there. And we came in and we made the process of starting a business, owning a business, getting your, you know, business documents, you know, kind of streamlined. We streamlined the process and we kind of came out with this idea and mantra that anyone can start a business. We really believe anyone can start a business. And truly the reason why they don't is that there is this lack of awareness that legal documents and filing of legal documents must be filed by attorneys. So having gone to law school and really, really learning the process, you know, we wanted to come out and educate entrepreneurs and including franchisors, franchisees, that you don't need an attorney to set up a corporation or LLC in any state. In fact, save that money and use it towards getting an attorney when your business really needs it. So we streamlined the process. Fast forward, after we got acquired, we were coined as the pioneers of the industry. And then, you know, after we sold to Intuit, we were under a non-compete and we couldn't do anything for 3 years. But after that non-compete, you know, took its course and expired, we decided that really what makes us really passionate is this idea of coming back into the industry and now having had all this experience under our belt, you know, creating something bigger, better, stronger, even more streamlined. And frankly, you know, there wasn't really anyone out there, even with all the competitors now in 2009, when we came back and reentered the industry doing it the way we envisioned. So it's, you know, simply stated, it's the only thing I know how to do really good. And I love it. You know, I don't call my job a job. It's really what I love doing each every day. And when you love what you do each and every day, when you're passionate about it, it's not a job, you know. And that's what really makes me excited about my career, my job, and specifically CorpNet.
Maybe you could talk a little bit, Nelly, because I think, you know, a lot of times, like you were saying, that most maybe aspiring entrepreneurs, maybe they get a little intimidated by, you know, like terms like whether it's sole proprietorship or partnership or S-Corp or LLC. Maybe, you know, you can talk a little bit about like the different types of like business entities for our listeners, just in case they're a little bit intimidated by that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are many different types of business entities out there. And to kind of give you a simple business refresher course, a sole proprietorship is really a business owner, one business owner, hence why the name is sole. It's basically a business owner starting to provide services and accepting money, accepting consideration for the provision of those services. And by default, when you start receiving income for the services that you're providing, you're really coined by default a sole proprietor because you're accepting monies as income for the services that you're providing. And with a sole proprietorship, it's really one person doing business for profit, and you're simply by default coined a sole proprietor unless you want to do business under a different name or a fictitious business name. And in that regard, you would go down to your county recorder's office, file a DBA, also known as a fictitious business name filing, so that, for example, John Doe is doing business as John's Consulting Services. With a sole proprietorship, there is no legal protection. There is no asset protection. Mm. There is no liability protection. There is no corporate shield. And hence, God forbid you end up on the wrong end of a lawsuit, they can come after you as the business owner personally, and they can come after your house, your savings account, your retirement account, anything and everything you own. Similarly, with a partnership, which is basically the same thing as a sole prop, but it's really two people doing business together. And with a partnership, even gets scarier. In my opinion, it's the scariest. Why? It's because you're married to that individual, literally, even though you're not husband and wife, perhaps, but you're married. So anything that person does, you're going to be liable for. So with a sole prop and a partnership, there is no liability protection. There is no asset protection. It's basically, you know, you as a business owner or you and your partner as business owners are exposed. In that case, you know, that's why we really, really encourage people to consider taking their business to the next level and putting it in some form of a legal business entity, such as a corporation or an LLC. Now, with a corporation, there it's the most formal type of legal structure. With a corporation, now what you're doing as a business owner is you're separating yourself from the you're separating yourself as an individual from the business because now as a corporation, it's a separate legal entity and you're creating this bubble around yourself as a business owner because now as the owner of the corporation, you're really called the shareholder of that corporation. And, you know, as a corporation, what you're creating is this bubble so that, God forbid, if the corporation gets sued, the you know, as long as the corporation is being complied with and conducted properly, they cannot come after you as the business owner of the corporation personally. So hence, main benefit of incorporating a business would be that you're protected from any type of personal liability. You have asset protection. You have liability protection. You also have the sense of increased you know, kind of like people are going to look at you as more of an established business entity because there's more credibility. And they're going to look at you and go, okay, wow, this business has taken the necessary steps to establish themselves. Right. And they're more likely to want to do business with you. And lastly, it's easier to set up and start, you know, building business credit. And in many cases, you're, you know, eligible for more tax deductions as you would be otherwise with a sole prop or a partnership. So that's corporation in a nutshell. There's various different types of corporations. You can become a professional corporation if you're a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant. With a corporation, you can, you know, if the shareholders of the corporation qualify, they can qualify to become a subchapter S corporation, which is really an C corporation, but you're making an election with the IRS for the IRS to treat that C corporation as an S corporation for tax purposes and treat that corporation as a pass-through tax entity.
Right.
You can have a closed corporation. So many variations of it that for purposes of this particular, version of the podcast, I can't go into, but maybe we can do one just on corporations later on.
Right, right.
And then there's the LLC. The LLC stands for the limited liability company.
Right.
With an LLC, it's really the way I look at that entity is you get to have the best of both worlds. You get to have all the benefits of liability and asset protection that often is associated with a corporation, whether a C corp or an S corp, but without all the corporate formalities. Because really what an LLC is it's a hybrid of a sole prop partnership and a corporation. So it takes all the, asset protection, all the good stuff from a corporation, but without all the formalities that really one has to abide by in running a business as a corporation or an LLC. And, if you go to the corpnet.com website, you can go to the resources area, and I have literally hundreds of thousands of podcasts on the different types of business entities. And you can go ahead and, do a little bit of a, educational, kind of version on which entity is good for you. And, if you don't have the time for that, we also have a wizard that has been created by attorneys and accountants that, takes you through a series of questions, and then based on the answers you provide can, suggest which type of business entity would be best for your business. So lots of great resources out there for the franchise or franchisee.
It's a great lesson for our listeners, Nellie. It kind of makes you wonder why, somebody would consider, after listening to, why someone would want to become a sole proprietor or a partnership, like you said. It just seems so risky in today's world, and the majority of our listeners, Nellie, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. Most of them have it in their mind that they want to get into franchising. But there's so many different industries, as you know, in the franchise arena. Should all is probably a powerful word, but should anyone considering buying a franchise, would they ever consider like doing it as a sole proprietorship or partnership, or should they? It sounds to me like they should always consider something like an LLC to me in listening to you.
Well, it's interesting you ask that because we actually have a franchise expert that works within our company. Her name is Amanda Barron. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are franchisors or who have become a franchisee, most franchisors will require the franchisee to become some sort of a legal entity.
Yeah,
from my understanding, most of them will require you to either go C corp, S corp, or LLC. In becoming a franchise, there are other legal documentation that a franchisee needs to also comply with. So from our understanding and the hundreds of thousands of franchisors and franchisees that we're assisting, we're seeing that typically most of them do not opt for a sole prop or partnership.
Right.
In fact,
that
I don't even think they can. Yeah.
Right.
So
that would
we
make
have
sense.
A great, great franchise formation team that can be, at your service and assist you with everything you need, whether you're basically a franchisor starting a franchise or a franchisee who is starting a franchise, we can assist you with all of the documents in any of the states. And in addition to that, once the franchise is set up, we can also assist with keeping that franchise, whether a corporation or LLC, in compliance, and even help with expanding as well. So let's say, you're a franchisor and you get a franchisee who comes in. We can assist the franchisee, but let's say now the franchisee has employees. We can also set up all the payroll accounts, tax accounts. So we're a one-stop shop when it comes to anything and everything that franchisor or franchisor needs to not only start that franchise, but to also maintain that franchise as it goes through the business cycle of growing.
How did COVID play a role with CorpNet, Nelly? I mean, for you or, you know, for your clients, I mean, how did it impact the business?
You know, it's funny you ask that because, unfortunately, I know that a lot of businesses, as a result of COVID, got affected very negatively.
Right.
For us, you know, it was a huge blessing for the fact that we, you know, obviously it was very, very scary in the beginning because we're all sitting there going, what are we going to do, you know?
Right.
For us, because of the fact that most of the majority of businesses went remote, businesses started realizing that not only they can be remote, but now they have access so much more, employees and so much more talent in you know, multiple states and in other states. So as a result, the remote aspect of, you know, creating this remote, you know, environment for businesses to go remote created a huge new market for us, whereby now we were able to not only start new businesses for people who were perhaps, you know, fired or, you know, furloughed or, you know, laid off from the business that was going out of business, but also, you know, they plan, you know, this was their bigger blessing in that they decided to go into business for themselves. So here we are starting businesses. And then for the other businesses that, knock on wood, remained in business, they realized that they could be expanding in multiple states. And we started assisting them with employer setup of tax accounts, payroll accounts. So COVID for me and for our company has been a really, really big blessing. You know, I tend to look at everything in a way where, you know, everything happens for a reason. God has us where he has us for a specific purpose. And so, you know, I tend to look at the silver lining behind what's happening. And for us, COVID, you know, brought a lot of blessings to us as a business and as a company.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting that you say that, Nelly, because, you know, in doing the show, you know, last year, I mean, of course, you know, COVID, it became a theme of the show. You know, it was hard to not do a show without talking about COVID. I remember when I was interviewing, I think it was Huntington Learning Center, and they're like a kind of like a tutoring franchise, you know, and they were always like brick and mortar. But when COVID came, I mean, they were forced to go remote. But that kind of forced them to realize that they said, you know what, this is an opportunity because their customers actually liked them being remote because they didn't have to go to the physical location. And then the tutors could educate from their own home, you know. So it's interesting how some businesses were able to pivot, like your example, you know, and see it as an opportunity. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it's very interesting. And, you know, it's just, you know, for me, I kind of take, you know, look at it from the standpoint of, you know, we tend to look at it like, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
And, you know, this is one of the things that I often, you know, I often implore and encourage my employees to look at is when something happens, immediately don't go to the negative, which as a human, you know, as humans, we are so, you know, programmed to be like, oh my God, it's doomsday, it's doomsday, you know.
Yes.
But for me, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm very, very prone to going that route as well, you know.
Sure.
Because that's how our brains are programmed as humans. However, when you take a moment, when you take a moment to just kind of step back and go, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. What does this really mean for us? There's something that happens where you kind of look at it and go, okay, you know what? Maybe this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Because for us, the business was kind of at a standstill whereby we were kind of plateauing and we were not going down, but we weren't going up. And we were kind of growing at a rate where it was just kind of that normal rate. But once COVID took place, like, we went from a 15% company to a 70%+ company.
Wow.
And
incredible.
It just took a little bit of our leadership team kind of getting together, putting our minds together and going, okay, let's step back and let's look at really what this is as far as the opportunities that are associated with it. So, yeah, I mean, I would, as a, you know, from one business owner to another, I would definitely implore, although it's very, 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 very hard to do so, to, you know, if you can, I would encourage you to kind of step back and see if there's any blessings that are kind of underneath whatever it is that, you know, is going on for you at that moment.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I see, like, sometimes on the internet, Nelly, like, or, you know, if even when you pick up, you know, the entrepreneur magazines and things like that, a lot of times they'll say, you know, incorporate in a particular state. What state should, let's say, like, an expanding franchise register in? Or, I mean, do you get involved in that as far as, like, advising? Are there other states that they should consider, you know, when it comes to things like incorporation? Like, how does that work?
Sure. So, generally speaking, for a franchisor or a franchisee, so if you are, if you have a business and you want to franchise it, as a franchisor, again, you know, we don't provide legal, tax, or financial advice. What we can encourage you to consider, based on what the states recommend, is that, generally speaking, the rule of thumb is to incorporate within the home state where the corporate headquarters are located, where the you know, principals of that franchise are located, where the majority of the employees are located. Because setting up the franchise in a state other than the home state is potentially going to elude to double taxes, double state laws, and
point,
it goes on. So typically the rule of thumb is to incorporate where the business is located. And then as you expand and have nexus in others, can foreign qualify to do business in those other states. But the corporate headquarters of the state should typically be you know, set up in the state where the majority of the business is taking place, whether you're a franchisor or you are now becoming a franchisee.
That's interesting. What advice, Nelly, would you give to our listeners? I mean, you've been very successful in entrepreneurship, and I was mentioning to you earlier, you know, the majority of our listeners, they're in the early stages of looking to buy a franchise. I mean, from everything that you've learned about entrepreneurship up to this point, what advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise?
First and foremost, don't do it for the money, you know, because
that's good.
For me, as an entrepreneur, when I've often kind of, you know, just kind of, you know, when I'm grinding and I'm grinding because I'm doing it for the money, it's always a flop for me.
Yeah.
So I would say whatever it is that you're going to, you know, put your heart in or set your mind to do it because you're passionate about it and you believe in the product or service. Because when you believe in the product or service, then everything else kind of just trickles down and flows. So that's my foremost recommendation. Next after that, I would say, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're going to fail. And rather looking at that failure as kind of like, you know, letting it take over your mind and body, my suggestion is to lean into that discomfort, because as entrepreneurs, you're going to fail. And failure is just part of the learning process. Failure is part of the process of being an entrepreneur. And for me, failures are kind of the pathway to success. So as an entrepreneur, you're going to fail, as I am, and I'm not I'm not done failing. I'll probably fail 100,000 more times. And as an entrepreneur, you know, I get up every day and I listen to that inner voice and I listen to my heart. Sometimes, you know, I have to remind myself that, you know, I am capable of doing amazing things, but before I can be capable of doing those amazing things, I have to make sure that whatever I'm doing, I'm passionate about and I believe in it. So that's really where it starts.
It's great advice, Nellie. I once heard, I was listening to an interview with Fran Tarkenton, quarterback, and he became an entrepreneur. And he said something like, you know, my greatest successes happened after my biggest failures. You know, and that's, it's interesting that you talk about failure because, you know, I've been doing the show 15 years now, and I don't think that's ever really even come up, you know, 15 years. But it makes a lot of sense that you say that, is that you have to anticipate that, right, there are going to be failures, right, and you're going to have to learn from them and continue to move on. I think that's very powerful, isn't it?
Yes. And for me, every one of my successes was because of a failure. You know,
yeah.
Even with CorpNet Company, I mean, we did so many things that, you know, when I look back at it, I look at it and I go, okay, well, that was really something that was kind of, how could I have done that? You know?
Right,
But I look at it and I go, had I not done it, I wouldn't learn.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have learned from it, and I wouldn't be
powerful.
Where I am today.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a huge believer of leaning into the discomfort. You know, I really, really love Brené Brown. I read a lot of her books.
Yeah.
And one of the things she talks about in her book, Braving the Wilderness, is braving,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how she
right.
kind of starts her day and, you know, with the acronym braving, you know, with me being, you know, having boundaries as a business owner, as a leader, you know,
mm-hmm.
reliability, the R, you know, having that, you know, reliability where you do what you say and say what you do, accountability,
right.
Vault, being a vault, and, you know, not only, you know, asking people to maintain your confidentiality, but, you know, likewise, making sure they're being a vault for you.
Right.
And, you know, integrity, you know, making sure you have integrity without compromise, you know, and not
mm-hmm.
compromising your integrity. And,
right.
You know, having this non-judgment type of mindset where, you know, you're not judging people, and also being able to say whatever is on your mind, knowing that you're not going to be judged for it. And then generosity, which is my favorite
yeah.
one.
And yes.
that whatever happens, you know, and whatever happens to you is like, don't assume the worst, you know,
right.
be generous
mm-hmm.
about it and think like, okay, let's step back and really, you know, assume the best, or kind of like question it as to why this is going on. And
right.
even when it's about someone talking about you or someone doing something, let's not assume the worst. Let's kind of look at it for what it is. So
right.
That's kind of how I live my life, with this kind of mentality of bravery and braving, you know, and because if we're not braving the wilderness, you know, then what are we doing, really?
I mean, right.
you know, in this world, everybody is going to tell you no. Everybody's going
right.
to tell you not to do things, you know,
right.
and
right.
you know, if you want to take that route, then where's the growth for you as an
exactly.
entrepreneur? So, yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah. So thank
it's powerful,
you so much.
Yeah, it's powerful, Nellie.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It is really
thank
powerful.
You.
So if you could look into the future, Nellie, like, I mean, like, you know, 3 years, 5 years down the road, I mean, where do you see CorpNet?
Oh, wow. So I tend to focus on today and the
sure.
present and take
yeah.
it one day at a time. However, you know, I see CorpNet as growing and truly, you know, becoming you know, we are really in a place and a position whereby we are on, you know, on plan to take over 22 when it comes to the industry as
yeah.
a result of,
yeah.
you know, our seamless software and the software that we are creating as a company.
Right.
So I would just say bigger, better, stronger.
That's great. It's a great response, Nellie. What's the best way, Nellie, for our listeners to get more information on CorpNet and all the different services that you provide? Are there any websites you want to direct them to?
Well, thank you so much. Yes, for any of you interested in either starting a franchise or if you're becoming a franchisee,
mm-hmm.
I would highly encourage you to visit CorpNet at www.corpnet.com. That's CORP, N as in Nancy, ET.com. You can
okay.
also feel free to pick up the phone and call us at 888-449-2638. Our franchise expert at CorpNet is Amanda Barron.
That's Amanda okay. Barron. She can be reached at extension 105, or simply you can email her to A Barron. That's A as in apple, Barron, B as in boy, E-R-E-N, as in Nancy, at corpnet.com. And she is our franchise filings expert and literally is a world of knowledge. I call her a walking encyclopedia.
That's fantastic. Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed talking to you, Nellie, and I'd like to invite you back, you know, like in 6 months or a year down the road, because I still have 100 more questions.
I would love that.
I'm so glad I finally got to speak to you today. Yeah, because I feel like I know you, you know, and following you on the social media circuit, you know, so it was a privilege and honor for me to finally get the chance to speak to you today.
Likewise. Thank you again, Marty, and I look forward to it, and best of luck to you. Happy holidays to all of you.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you,
Nellie. May you all be filled with abundance, blessings, everything, and definitely will circle back in the next few months with you. Take care.
That's true. Take care, Nellie. We'll be right back with more.
Purdue Global Radio. From Indianapolis, Indiana, to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Purdue Global Radio. Purdue Global Radio.